war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. We are at war with those that want to see anything that has to do with God destroyed. And that's what we're going to be talking about for a few weeks, about 4 weeks. We're going to be talking about spiritual warfare, because I believe now is the time. If we don't stand up now in the grace and truth of Christ, it's going to get a lot worse. Now, we know, according to Revelation and Daniel and Ezekiel, it's going to get a lot worse. But we have a responsibility to fight the good fight. Not with the weapons made by man. We don't go out and throw grenades and gas bombs and machine gun people. There might be a few that deserve it, but we'll leave that up to God. We are to pray and to hope and to bless and to forgive and to teach what the truth is. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, think about those things that we're going to be talking about this morning. Father, thank you for this beautiful day. As we've already stated, Lord, thank you that we can come and learn that we must fight this fight, that we cannot just give up and roll over and play dead. Father, there are a lot of Christians, and I believe they have sincere hearts, but they believe that we must just acquiesce, and we can't, because we are held responsible for every thought and every deed. We are commanded to wage a good war, not as the world does, but as you do, Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. I ask that you remove me from this and let the Spirit speak for itself through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like it or not, brothers and sisters, as we said, we are in a struggle for the very souls of our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our nieces and nephews. The enemy is ruthless, plays dirty, and wants to destroy all who trust and love the Lord. The enemy wants to be worshipped as a god. And let me tell you something. Those that say they don't believe in anything, God or the devil, if they think they are not worshipping something, they're wrong, because they're worshipping themselves. And if you're not in the body of Christ, you are doomed. And we can't lose that message. We can't lose that message. Look around us at what this world is doing. I brought something up here, and if anybody wants to look at these when we get through, they're more than welcome to. I want to read you some headlines just taken over the last couple of weeks. Anti-Christian hostility reaching unprecedented level in the culture government under Biden's administration, observers warn. How about this one? Ottawa School Board's gender consultant ripped for Good Friday tweet calling Jesus a drag queen. Here's one. FBI sought to develop sources in Catholic churches to combat domestic terrorism, but in the article it says not only the Catholics, but they're doing it in all churches, denominations, and groups. Here's one that got me so fired up I almost punched the computer. Transgender pastor compares treatment of marginalized Nashville shooter to Jesus being crucified. Did you hear what that individual said? The shooter that killed the children in Nashville was like Jesus. Los Angeles LGBT Center to host drag queen march on Easter Sunday. And then if you stand up to that, pastor spends Easter in jail after another arrest trying to stop a drag queen event at a school. Brothers and sisters, that's only a tip of what you can find out. That's not government conspiracy, and that's not all these other things we can to just push off. That is stuff that is really happening right now in our world around us. And we have got to understand their objective is to destroy as best they can the Church of Jesus Christ, any worship of God. But you see, I got this book here, And I like to read the back of the book before I read the front sometimes. And this book tells me that they will not succeed. And I believe in the Lord that created the heaven and the earth. He is going to keep us around till the last person is saved that's going to be saved. And then He's going to come. And those that are with Him are come with Him, the armies of heaven. You see, John uses military terminology because we are in a real war. And we do need to man our battle stations. We do need to get into our foxholes for you army types. We need to stand behind the weapons that God gives us. And we need to arm ourselves. And here's the thing, brother. We must take no prisoners. And by that I mean we do not compromise the Word of God with the foolishness in this world. What I just read to y'all is foolishness. But there are people in our churches that say, oh, we just need to get along. We just need to be kind to everybody. We just need to show everybody the love and mercy and grace. Well, they're true in part, and that's the best lie of all. When something is only partly true, you will believe that more. When the devil lied to Eve and Adam, he had a half-truth. Did God surely say? Well, yes, God did say. That's the half-truth. And so the world wants us to believe these half-truths that, oh, there's many ways to God. Oh, we can act any way we want to. We're all going to go to heaven. There's some out there. You can go down to Unity Village and they will tell you even Lucifer is going to be saved in the end. Brothers and sisters, tells me he gets chucked in the lake of fire. What's salvation in that? What's worse, all those who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be thrown into the same. So the victory is assured. But until that victory, we got to fight. After Pearl Harbor, you know, Tokyo Bay on the USS Missouri came around eventually, but you know the fighting we had to do to get to that point. You can say the same thing in Europe and in North Africa, wherever that war was fought. Timothy was such a warrior. And I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, 15 through 19. Now we'll get to that eventually. I want you to be ready for that. But he was such a warrior. And Paul gave him some important truths, which are in fact our own marching orders for today. You know, when you go out in a war, you have to have a plan. You have to have orders. You have to have officers, and you have to have enlisted. You have to have people who are willing to do the grunt work, and you have to have people who plan. You've got to have an entire army. You've got to. And to remember who our commander is. Remember who is the captain. We preached several months ago. It is Jesus Christ. And on this old ship of Zion, they used to call the church. How many remember that term? The old ship of Zion. Some of you do, some of you don't. But there's a captain of that ship. And brothers and sisters, we are his. And in this fight, there is no room for cowards or fence sitters. There's not. Now, I'm not saying you got to go be a jerk, but you've got to stand firm in what God tells you, the truth of what God tells you, to compromise with this world. And say, it's okay if they do that. We just let them do that and they won't bother us. Listen to what James says in 4:4, a verse that you are familiar with. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. How more plainly can we make that? Now, when I say the world, I am not talking about God's creation. I am talking about the worldly, sinful, iniquitous system that has been built up to counter everything that God stands for and everything that His people believe. There is no room. If you want to be friends with the world, you're enemy with God. Period. We've got to stop thinking that we can allow the world a little leeway here, allow the devil a little leeway here. Oh, if we'll allow this little behavior. You see what it does. It snowballs. 10 years ago, they were saying, as far as homosexual marriage, oh, if you just let us marry, we'll be left alone. Now you got drag queens hunting down children in public libraries. When are we going to stand up to this mess? You know why we don't? Because we're afraid. We are afraid that someone's going to call us a name. We're afraid that someone's going to make fun of us, or we'll lose our job, or maybe my third cousin who's an atheist won't come to the dinner anymore. That's the kind of garbage we deal with. We don't know true persecution here yet, but it's coming. And I don't mean to get fired up, but folks, when you're in a war, you can't be a coward. And you cannot be a fence sitter in this war, because you cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God. You have to be one or the other. If you are in Christ, you are a friend of God. That's where we want to be. Why do we try to be relative to a culture and society that hates us? And yes, it does hate us. Remember John 15. I promise you, I'm going to get to 1 Timothy, but we got a few verses to go through first. John 15, starting at 18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. You see, the world hates God. They hate the Father. They certainly hate the Son, because He unveiled the sinfulness that the world has. And they hate all those that belong to the Father and the Son. The world hates us, folks. That's why they're at war with us. That's why we're at war with them. But you see, there's a difference. Hatred breeds warfare. The devil is walking around like a lion wanting to devour those who follow Jesus. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. You can look it up for yourself. We must be vigilant, prayerful, bathed in the Word of God, and under the blood of Jesus Christ, our King and our Captain. Now I'm going to get back to 1 Timothy. Let's read what Paul was saying to Timothy. 1, 15 through 19. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul is saying this is the mission. Jesus came to save sinners. And I know, because I was the biggest one of all. Now, how many of us, if we are true to ourselves, cannot remember the things that we did in the past and say the exact same thing? But why did Jesus come? To save sinners. To save us. To give us salvation. To give us eternal life. To reconcile us with God through His blood. Verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which would hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Paul says the reason Jesus put up with me, that long suffering, for as long as He did, is so that I could obtain mercy, and people would see a person as bad and evil as I was obtain mercy. Therefore, they can have the same mercy. You see, it is a wonderful thing when a sinner accepts Christ and people see the change. That's part of the war. That's part of the fight. When you become a member of the army of God, a child of God, a child of the King, you are changed, and that change is evident. People take notice. Now, there are two types of people that take notice. They're the people that are struggling, or fellow Christians. They say, thank you, God, for all that you have done. Thank you for this chance. And then there's the others that are on the other side that point at you and accuse you and tell you you're a hypocrite, and they want to destroy you, even if you're bearing good fruit to repentance. Folks, we see it all around us. Not just in the big things like we said, but even in our families and our jobs and our schools. We see people that do not want to face the fact that they are sinners, much as those who follow Christ have faced the fact that they are sinners. If you run into a, quote, Christian that tells you he's not a sinner, then they need to read 1 John, because it tells you that if you deny that you have sin, you have no light in you. You're not a Christian. But to acknowledge past sin, forgiven sin, is a hopeful sign to those who are struggling with it right now. It is amazing how many people, if you get to talking with them after you get past, well, somebody at church hurt me when I was 12 years old and all that kind of stuff, and they really begin to look at their sin, how much they long for forgiveness and mercy and love, just as we did. Just as we did. Verse 17, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul is praising God for what He's done. And you know, when we praise God, that is a howitzer shot in this war. I'm telling you what, you get people that are angry about something, you start praising God, they want to get rid of you because you're causing damage. You're reminding them that the only way that they have is to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here are the marching orders. Verse 18, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou might by them war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck." So Paul is telling Timothy, "I told you the truth, Timothy. Now by this, you can have a good conscience, you hold on to your faith, and you war a good warfare." There was an old hymn we used to sing, "Fight the good fight with all thy might." I can't remember the rest of it, but those were enough. We are commanded to wage a holy war against the enemies of the cross. But you see, as we said earlier, there's a difference. Because the enemy wants to destroy. He wants to devour. He wants to completely demolish. What we want to do is we want to save. We want to build people up. We want to bring them to God to save their lives. We're fighting to save them. The only analogy I could come up with in warfare is something I remember watching. I believe it was Gary Cooper and Sergeant York. How many remember that old black and white movie? You remember when he was debating and finally he came out and one said, he said, "The reason I killed those Germans was not to kill them, but to save my friends. And that's the only way I could do it." I'm paraphrasing a little there. But you see, we go out and we wage war to save people. We wage war to help people. And by doing that, we show them the love of the King that has called them to repentance. Paul here, as we said, proclaims himself a great sinner. And do you know how much it takes to submit, knowing how much you have sinned, to submit the knee before God Almighty? Even as a saved person already, when you are pointed out the sin that you have done, and believe me, brothers and sisters, Christians sin. They don't want to. That's the difference. But sometimes that old flesh gets a hold of us and it shakes us and makes us doubt and causes us anxiety and we get mad and we say things and all this kind of stuff. But we're still forgiven when we repent and we acknowledge, "Lord, You're my God." Paul had taught Timothy the word, including the prophecies concerning Jesus. It was through this word that Timothy was to wage war against the schemes of the devil and the avarice and apathy of the world at large. And brothers and sisters, that's what we face today. Not only the schemes of the enemy, the devil, but also the avarice, that's a good word for immorality, and the apathy. "I just don't care." That's what the world, and unfortunately many in our houses of worship, do today. Especially the apathy part. "Well, them sinners, they're going to get what they deserve." Well, if they're unrepentant, they will. But that's not the way your heart should be. The Bible tells me that God wants everyone to come to repentance. That no one should perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's the heart we should have. If we fight, we do it to save, not to kill. Now, are there casualties? You tell me one war that was ever fought, a real war, that didn't have a casualty. Not one. And you can go way back. So there are going to be casualties. There's going to be casualties on both sides. There are casualties is when we bring them into the house of God, into the throne room of God, and they receive repentance and they receive the Holy Spirit. Not because of what we did, but because of what He did. We are just the soldiers. And then we have those on our side And brothers, sisters, you can go all around the world. You can go to Africa and see where whole house churches are bombed and set on fire with the people still inside. You can go to Muslim marriage companies where countries where they have their heads chopped off or they're disowned. There's many, many, many different ways to make casualties on their side. But we have to war a good warfare. Well, how do we do that? We are going to have a whole sermon on how do we do that, but I want to touch it real way here. 2 Corinthians 10 says this, starting at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We don't use man's weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We'll leave that last verse here for a second. We use the weapons that God gives us to pull down strongholds. Okay? We cast down imaginations through the weapons that God gives us. What does that mean? All this stuff they're trying to tell you that is fake, that's imagination. You know, if some guy wants to put lipstick on and dress in a dress and be called a woman, that's on him. But if he wants me to acknowledge that and say it's okay, that's on me. And I ain't doing it. I'm not doing that for any kind of sin. We just use that because it's a glaring example nowadays, but there's all kinds of sin that we need to war against and cast down foolish imaginations. And then you have all these high philosophical arguments. I'm going to go into my professor voice here for just a second. And it says that every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Brothers and sisters, where do you think all this mess starts? It starts in the halls of academia. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I am not anti-education. I am not. I've got two doctorates, two masters, and a bachelor's, an associate's, a high school diploma, and my fifth grade diploma somewhere. And it don't mean squat to me compared to the riches and the graces that God gives me through the knowledge of His Word. I went through all that so that I could know His Word better, and He's allowed me to do that. But I don't hold it over people. And I don't come up with these crazy, fancy theories of psychology and sociology and all that says, well, it's okay to do this. That's just being a human. It's being a sinner. And as soon as we acknowledge that, we can get on with this fight. You know, how many of y'all used to watch wrestling back in the good old days? You know, they would always have Mean Gene Okerlund. And he would be out there and he'd be interviewing one of them. And I used to could do a Randy Savage Macho Man imitation, but I'm not going to do that to y'all. But what they did, they would get out and they would do their promos and they would sit there, ooh, and all that stuff. And they would talk and make threats and everything. Be quiet with all that mess and get on with the wrestling. That's what I want to see. And that's what the world does. Through the high places and every thought and against the knowledge of God, they threat and they thunder and they make fools of themselves. But brothers and sisters, if we don't combat this, then we are the ones who are making fools of ourselves. Because it's so bloody obvious what is a lie and what is not a lie. And then we need to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought in our minds needs to be under the captivity of Christ. That means we acknowledge Him as Lord, King, Savior, Redeemer, Friend, and Captain. We are to go where He sends us. We are to say what He tells us to say. We are to love those who are unlovable otherwise. We're to have mercy. We're to forgive. We're to do all those things. And you know, the weapons that we are given, the sword of the Spirit, shield of faith, which we'll get to in a couple of weeks, they can all be used to protect and to teach as well as fight. And that last verse, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now that kind of perplexed me. Are we to go out and get Revenge? No. Okay? What this tells us, it is the last part is key. When your obedience is fulfilled, when our faith and life is fulfilled, when God judges, that is when all the disobedience will be revenged by God. We are not in the revenge business. We are in the saving business. We're in the fighting to preserve life, to build life, to give life. That's our fight. And that's what we need to do. We walk in the Word and in the light of Christ Jesus. We do not wage war as the world does with the weapons made by man. I cannot keep saying that enough. We don't take up sticks and rocks. You know, somebody once said that, you know, World War III will be fought with nuclear ICBMs and satellites and laser technology, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. Doesn't matter the weapon you use. Your heart has to be in the right place. Think about how much the world wails and screams when Jesus is brought into the conversation. God pulls down their strongholds by the power of the Holy Spirit. All things that exalt themselves, whether it's man or it's Satan himself, will be cast down. The battle is already over, and the devil knows it. The devil is not stupid. He's not some weird-looking guy with a mustache and a goatee and little horns and a red union suit sticking people with a pitchfork. That is not the devil. The devil appears as an angel of light, and he has all the mental acuity of the angels. But he is not the opposite of God. He is a created being, and he can be resisted, and he can be fought, and he can be overcome by the power of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we cannot forget this. The battle is already over. The world doesn't know it, though. The devil does, but the world doesn't. Because its pride tells it that it can still win. You know, it's foolish and an idiotic exercise to think one can attack God and get away with it forever. Sure, short-term violence can be done against Jesus' followers. What the worst they can do? Kill us? If they kill us, I'm going to be in a lot better shape. I am. I'm going to be in the presence of the King. I'm going to be getting ready my horse. I'm going to join the cavalry and come out in Revelation 19 following the Lord down to this earth. But even though that violence can be done, the victory is still assured. It even says so in verse 6, when our obedience is fulfilled, that means our faith is made sight. It is fulfilled. When we stand before God and see and meet Jesus, man, no amount of medals will ever compensate for that great victory that we'll have. Then all disobedience, all that foolish stuff I read, will be dealt with accordingly. Until then, we fight more and more each day. Now let's go back to what Paul told Timothy, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have been made shipwreck. We are to fight with a good conscience, holding to our faith. We are to be grounded in the Word of God. We need to have calluses on our knees and our toes from going down so often. We need to be in the midst of the battle with tears if necessary, praying for the salvation of people and doing the things that God calls us to do to reach people. How we do that particularly, when we get to the armor of God, we'll talk about that because that's very important in that understanding. Our consciences are clean because we know we're doing what's right. When you know you're doing what's right and good, you don't have to worry about somebody finding out something later on. You're doing it holy. And you're doing it holy. Because it is set apart for the purposes of God. Now, what about the others, the ones whose faith are made shipwreck? You see, our consciences are clean because we desire for good to overcome evil, life to overcome death. But you see, there's some folks that want to compromise to such a degree that evil is allowed to run rampant. As one guy put it not too long ago, what was once hid in the back alleys and the streets is now celebrated in broad daylight. You allow one drop of water in a bucket. Oh, for the first little while, it's not going to be much. But if you let that drip, 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 soon your bucket is full and overflowing, and it goes to places it never was meant to go. And brothers, sisters, that's why we have to fight. There are those within the church who desire to compromise with evil. They proclaim the word doesn't mean the same as it did way back then. They declare that those who believe in a literal interpretation of the word are backwards or even evil when such faith is exercised. Boy, that tells me it's in Isaiah and Romans, those that call good evil and evil good, their destruction is assured. It is such false brothers and sisters who are in terrible danger. See, we're fighting this with a full sense of good conscience. They are fighting it with a false truth, a lie. They believe in a lie. Now what happens to a lie? It's found out to not be true. Everything it promises is not true. Everything that it supports is not true. It ceases to exist because it never existed in reality. Try to say that 6 times real fast. But we understand to deny the word is to deny the very will of God. Remember what we said earlier, that to be friends with the world is to be enemies of God. Now that doesn't mean you can't be friendly to people. We are to be friendly to people, but we are to be enemies of the worldly system that causes lies, falsehoods, death, destruction. Those that deny the will and the word of God commit blasphemy. We don't hear that term very much anymore, but that's a true term. Blasphemy. When you call God something He ain't, it's blasphemy. When you go and say, well, this evil is good, it's blasphemy. We need to open our eyes. People that say such thing, even if they sit in the church, carry a Bible, and have a cross lapel pin, they are not Christians, regardless of what they claim, if they stand against the Word of God. And I'll die on that hill. Because that is the truth. But can they be saved? Yes, they can repent and come to the truth and they can be saved like anybody else. So our job is to acknowledge and show the truth. But until that, and I hate to say this, but they're anathema. They're cursed because they promote a lie. And all those that follow the Lord are in the way, the truth, and the life. We are to pray for them that God would open their eyes, forgive them, and set them upon the straight and narrow. There's another term we've lost. We don't say the straight and narrow path anymore. Well, it's God is so loving and heart, there's abroad many, many people. Christ is the only way you can get to God. The biblical Christ. Not a made-up Christ, not a Christ that meets your criteria, not some Christ that allows people, He winks at them from the rocking chair on the porch of heaven. No, the biblical Christ. The biblical Christ. And brothers and sisters, this is not pride on our part. You just a bunch of pride. You just think you're so much better than me? No, actually I think I'm worse than you. But I know a King, I know a Savior who made me right with God, and that's all that counts. This is not arrogance. This is war. This is war. Those who put aside their faith to become friends of the world are shipwrecked. Those in churches, even though they may have an understanding of God, if they put that aside to allow to make sure that God, you know, these people just come to church and they'll feel loved. Well, the cults do the same thing. We're to tell them the truth. Even if they say, well, that's just arrogant. No, it's the truth. You think you're better than me? No, I'm telling the truth because I love you and I want you to come to the Lord Jesus. This is a war. They are enemies of God. may have mercy upon them and bring them back into the fold. But if they continue to fight against Jesus and His people, then God will deal with them in ways greater than we could ever imagine. Folks, I dread reading what happens to those who are not in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because it's not just a one thing and you're done. It's forever and ever and ever. And brothers and sisters, there's no need for that. God extends the invitation to all who would believe. As we said, in Peter it says, God does not desire anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance. All won't come to repentance, but God desires them. Therefore, we should desire, and we should do everything in this war, in this struggle, in this fight, to bring people unto Christ. How many times, how many pastors, how many Sunday school lessons, how many youth events, how many Bible schools, how many whatever, have you heard the Word of God and not responded to it? Or think, well, that's good for those old folks. They're going to die and be in heaven. But I'm young. I want to live my life full. Your life could be taken away in a heartbeat. I've carried 16 and 15-year-old football players that dropped dead from asthma from practice. You ain't guaranteed next 5 minutes, much less tomorrow. But grace be to God and glory be to God that He gave us a way that if that happens, we are made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, let us not allow our faith to become shipwreck. Let us not compromise with the world on truth. And I do believe there are other Christians outside of the Southern Baptist Convention that are real Christians. And they love God. I just happen to believe that the way we view Scripture is the best way to do it. But we all, in Christendom, the reason I say that, all Christians everywhere, whether they're in Baptist churches, Presbyterian churches, what church you may be in, or a little old house church out in the middle of Podunk, Arkansas. I should have said Mississippi. Brother Jim's going to get mad at me when he comes back when I said Arkansas. But wherever you are, do not let your faith become shipwreck. Let us war a good warfare against all that opposes God, His Word, and His will. Let us use the weapons He gives us to bring every thought into captivity under Christ. Now, next week, we will learn of the weapons that God gives us to fight this war. But let me close with this. This war is bloody. This war is deadly. This war is ongoing until He returns. And this war is necessary. God will lead us unto ultimate victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen. Now, it's time to fight. Man your battle stations. Praise team. So brothers and sisters, I've pretty much given you both barrels that I can this morning. We understand what the Bible says, we understand what's going on in the world around us. But I cannot see into your heart. God can. And He sees and He knows what your heart is. Do not let your faith in this war become shipwrecked. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. The only truth, the only standard of truth that we have is the Word of God. You stick with that. You get in prayer, you get into communion, and I'm not talking about Lord's Supper, I'm talking about literally communion of prayer, talking with God, listening to God, not just giving Him a wish list, but listening. God, what do You want me to do? How should I handle this? And He will show you. He may use the Holy Spirit in your heart, or He may use another brother or sister, or He may use something completely innocuous that you may never have thought of, but He will let you know if you sincerely ask what He wants you to do. But in order to do that, you first got to know Him. If any of you here today do not know Him, I beg you, find out who Christ is. Believe on Him. And when you believe on Him in truth, then He will fill you with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will expand your understanding of God immensely. And if you do know Him, but you are a casualty of this war, if you've suffered either because of the world or even because of a fellow Christian who did you wrong, you've suffered. You're a casualty. We don't give out purple hearts, but we give out hugs. We give out things that the world can't understand, just the ministry of presence, being there when you're going through something. We have all this that we can use. So if you feel struggling, come to God and let Him love you and let His people love you and help you get through this time. Think about these things and prepare for war.